Tom, I thank you so much for the privilege, the opportunity to bring the Word of God this morning. I do believe that the Lord gave me the Christmas message that was to come, and so the opportunity is here, and it's an honour and it's a privilege. So the title of my message this morning is Celebration of the Birth of Jesus. So now let me make a challenging statement. That is, if the birth of Jesus is not reflected in the personal triumph of the life that we live, then why do we celebrate it? We know Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. His first visitors were shepherds. And as these prophetic truths became reality, it was the unfolding of the divine plan of God the Father. Why? Everything about the life of Jesus, beginning with his birth as human, growing up in the vulnerability of knowing what it's like to be tempted, rejected, misunderstood, his sinless life here on earth, his suffering, his death, his resurrection life, and his ascension into heaven were all planned by God the Father before the beginning of time. All of these things could only take place because of his birth. But there are many questions to answer. Why did all this take place as it did? The answers from Scripture, I believe, are mind-blowing. And when we in humility embrace them, we are in awe of who he is. Jesus, his life, death, are all part of God's divine plan through Jesus for us. God wants us to live in being healed, free from sin, and most importantly, what he wants is for us to have relationship with Jesus and through him to have a life of eternity with him the Father. The reason Jesus was born is for us. That's the reason that he was born. Jesus' birth allows us to embrace him as our Lord, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and to live the life that God the Father created us to live. When we embrace the identity of Jesus' birth, it allows us to have, and when through obedience, we live the life that he wants us to live. And when we do, we bring him glory. The birth of Jesus was because God the Father wanted to restore the relationship of mankind back to himself that was lost because of sin. So let's take a journey through Scripture that reveals God's divine plan. Let's begin with Jesus' conception. So his conception was prophesied in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And it continues in Matthew 1, verse 23, and we read these words. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. He will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the conception of Jesus became a reality because of love. This is God's perfect plan, that the conception of every child should be empowered by the couple's love for one another. The difference with Jesus' conception being that it wasn't just God's love for Mary that allowed Jesus' conception to take place. It was the all-encompassing love that God the Father had for all whom he had created in his image. His unquestionable desire to have relationship with us here on earth would extend into a relationship with us, with him for eternity. So for the reality of the extravagance of Father God's love to be realised, it was dependent that we as sinners would be forgiven of our sin. His gift of forgiveness was made available to all who confess their sin and by faith receive his forgiveness. The cost of man's redemption demanded the shedding of Jesus' blood through suffering, culminating in the horror of his death on a cross. Romans 6:23, the wages of our sin is death. So his birth is prophesied. Matthew 1, 18 to 21. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant with the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The place of his birth is also prophesied. Micah 2:5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel." So question, why was it prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? Luke 2:7. "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son." So let me tell you what I've learned from Jonathan Cahn's book of Mysteries. It says that in the days of the Second Temple, the only place where lambs were born and shepherded were in the wilderness. But there was an exception. The lambs appointed to be sacrificed for the sins of God's people were not shepherded in the wilderness. They were kept in close proximity to the holy city. The region where they were shepherded was called Bethlehem. So prophetically, by divine order of God, Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, was born in the place where the lambs born for sacrifice were born. Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, had to be born in Bethlehem. Next question. After Jesus was born, why were the shepherds the first people to see the baby Jesus? Shepherds were not really respected people. They were looked down on. They were essential, but they certainly were not exalted as people that you wanted to be around. But after Jesus was born, why were the shepherds the first people to see the baby Jesus? Well, we know that when a lamb is born, who is it that attends the birth? Shepherds. Shepherds. The shepherds that saw baby Jesus after he was born could not just be any shepherds. They had to be the shepherds of Jerusalem. Why? Because the shepherds of Bethlehem were the ones who attended the birth of the lambs born to be sacrificed. It's incredible, God's plan. It's all there and prophesied. So when Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, was born, the shepherds of Bethlehem had to be the first to come and to visit him. God's divine plan. When Jesus, his son, was born to be the final sacrificial lamb ever to be slain, he had to be seen first by the shepherds of Bethlehem. So Luke 2, verses 8 to 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing, saying, that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So we now know why Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, also knowing why the shepherds of Bethlehem were the first human beings that had to see the baby Jesus. God put in place all of these incredible intricacies, each being a fulfillment of a prophetic word spoken many years by his prophets. So God arranged for the shepherds of Bethlehem to be visited by the angels who told them the good news of his birth. Let's reflect what our birth brought into the lives of our parents and what Jesus' birth has brought into our lives. After our birth, our mum and dad, our parents, were endowed with the ability to be a mum and dad. They became our teachers, they became our providers, our caregivers, our role models, with the authority to empower us as they brought us up, as they should, in the love, nurture and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as their children embraced and became responsible to live in our identities, son, daughter, brother, sister to other siblings, male, female to other friends. And our life could only be lived in its fullness when we embraced by dedication and perseverance all that was needed to reach our potential in all of our different identities. So how does this relate to the birth of Jesus? Jesus was destined by the Father to be the one who'd be sacrificed for our sin. God's plan for him was also conceptualized around Jesus embracing the specific identities of who he would become while here on earth. Jesus' identities are identified by us who believe in him. Hebrews 2, 14 to 18, which we do not have on the screen, gives us some of the identities of whom Jesus became while he was here on earth. He became fully human. He became our brother. He became our helper. He was a merciful and a faithful high priest. He was the Prince of Peace. He is our Redeemer and made atonement for our sins. He suffered when tempted as we are and is able to identify with those who are tempted. Scripture also says Jesus, while on earth, was a rabbi, teacher, healer. He had authority and power to drive out demons, even to raise the dead. Jesus, in his humanness, can identify with us. And once again, Scripture tells us that, Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. 1 John 5, 11, 12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. More identities of Jesus, 1 Peter 1:19, once again not on the screen, Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 John 4, verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. 2 Peter 2:20 tells us he is Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. John 14:16 tells us Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. John 3:29, John the Baptist tells us he's the bridegroom. And as our bridegroom, he says to us in John 14:3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also are where I am. We know from Scripture that Jesus reigns, Hebrews 1:13. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Hebrews 5 verses 8 and 10 gives us this. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be the high priest in order of Melchizedek. So from the time we accepted Jesus as our Lord, we then took on new identities. So I've heard about the identities of Jesus that he had while here on earth, at least some of them. But we also took on new identities when we believed in him. John 1, verses 12 to 13. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And because we believe in his name, we become a child of God. We are born again of the Spirit. And then we go to Luke 10:18-20, and tells us what Jesus has given to us who believe. As believers, we have God's authority over the enemy. We are eternal beings whose names are written in heaven. We are commanded in Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then we're encouraged by these incredible words in verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. That's us. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. So as believers, we've been directions and empowering by God to take on new identities of whom we are. We are the salt and the light. We stand out from others because of what we can do because of the birth of Jesus, that our belief in him has empowered us to be the people he wants us to be. We are to preach the gospel, the good news of salvation. And as believers, these signs will follow us. We will speak in new tongues. We can pick up snakes and not be harmed. We can drink deadly poison and not die. We place hands on the sick and they will recover. And another challenge of Jesus for us as his believers, John 14, 12 to 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever he asks in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name and I will do it. So the Word of God tells us what the birth of Jesus has brought into the world, but most of all into our life. Identities Jesus became while here on earth, Son of the living God, in his humanness, able to identify with our weaknesses. He's our Redeemer, he's our Lord, our King, our Healer, our Provider, our High Priest. He is the Lamb of God, he is our sacrifice, he is our role model of how to live a life of love. He is our Bridegroom, and he is the Prince of Peace. And because of the birth of Jesus, these truths should shape our life here and for eternity. with Jesus being our Lord and Saviour, we are saved by grace. We are forgiven of our sin. We are being prepared as the spotless bride for Christ. We are overcomers. We are to be preachers of the good news. We bring healing to others. We are to be miracle workers. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are a friend of Jesus. We are a person who's been given authority to do what Jesus has done. So when we as the children of God celebrate Christmas, let's celebrate Jesus' birth with a renewed mind, with the knowledge of how his birth should manifest in our life. For us who believe, because of Jesus' birth, we are forgiven of our sin, we have eternal life, we are born again of the Spirit, we have hope, we've been given power and authority of his name. And let us thank Jesus for his sacrificial death, being the last lamb ever needed to be sacrificed for sin. We cannot separate the celebration of Jesus' birth from the celebration of his life, his death, and the miracle of his resurrection and ascension. You know, our Heavenly Father's love could only be given to us because of Jesus' obedience to pay the price beyond measure that his Father's love for us demanded. His birth in vulnerability as a baby, his sinless life beset by rejection, misunderstanding, and temptation, his suffering and death that paid for our healing, forgiveness, and a life of eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Your birth for us has given us so many reasons to celebrate. I want us to stand and make this declaration with me that's going to be here. I want you to speak it from the heart, because this, I believe, because of the birth of Jesus, is who we are and what we can thank him for. So let's do it slowly, but let's read it. Is it on the screen yet? It's going to come up. Tell me when it's there. I just believe sometimes, you know, prayer is so important, but sometimes declaration of truth has so much power to release us and empower us to be the people God wants us to be. So we're going to do. Lord Jesus, because of your birth and your sinless life, your incredible suffering for my healing, your sacrifice and death for my forgiveness, your victory over death, your intercession back to your Father to intercede for me. The life I want to live is for your glory. You have given me hope. You have forgiven me of my sin. You have given me eternal life. I want my life to reflect your presence living within me and upon me. I choose for my life to be the fulfillment of your plan and purpose for me. Empower me by your grace and Holy Spirit to live in obedience to your commands. I want to bring glory to you, Jesus. Your birthday has given me abundant life. Hallelujah. God bless you.